and this quickening pace of economic development in Europe in the era of the Crusade had other important consequences. The nobility of Europe, as a result of getting involved in all the trade and commerce and diversifying their agricultural production, their estates, in seeking out more money in cash and actual coin rather than in kind and labor services, they increasingly became defined themselves in a hierarchy of nobility. If you go back into the texts of the 11th century, you essentially just talk about barons, and you may talk about knights. But by the time the Crusades are over, there is a whole hierarchy going from dukes down to counts, or in England, earls. You know, there aren't any counts in England. They use the old Anglo-Saxon term. The title Marcus, all of this differentiation of aristocracy that you find in the Holy Roman Empire, in France, in England, it's brought into Spain, the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies. All of this is in response to the fact that members of the nobility, as they make more and more money, start to differentiate themselves, buy more prestige goods, hold courts, hold tournaments, so that you have a far more complicated hierarchy. You also see the development of royal taxation and justice at a level that you couldn't have had before the Crusades. The best example of that in the 12th century is Henry II, the king across the waters, who's able to pay out regularly the so-called Saladin's tithe. That is a tax of 10% on his subjects and his clergy. This is a regular taxation that's going to support the military monastic orders, the Kingdom of Jerusalem. At the Battle of Hattin, 200 of the 1,200 knights that fought for King Guy of Jerusalem were paid for by Henry II. You see it in the development of the taxation system in France, especially with that great crusader king, Louis IX, who will lead the 7th and 8th Crusades. And as an example of that, I just give the tribute alone. The 7th Crusade ends up in a real disaster. I mean, Louis is captured. We'll talk about that. It's embarrassing. In fact, the Mamluk Sultan is so overwhelmed by his own success, he doesn't exactly know what to do all with his prisoners, so he ransoms them. 800,000 livres tournois, pounds of silver, is the agreed-upon price. What is amazing is that the French monarchy can pay half of that immediately in 1250, and they get the other half largely from the Templars, who were pretty reluctant about that, and a lot of hard feeling about the Templars ever after, and that calculates out to about something like 192 million little deniers, coins that would have at that point been about 1.25 grand. That is, the French fiscal institutions are able to support not only the cost of this extremely expensive crusade with all the fancy ships I just discussed, but also come across with about half of the ransom necessary to get these crusaders out of Egypt and back into Palestine. This is a stunning achievement indeed. And I put it in this way. If you really want to get a sense of how this has changed as a result of the Crusades, just look at the methods of financing the Crusades themselves. And I just close with this comparison to give you some idea of the importance of the development of trade in the Mediterranean economy. In 1096, it took five noble families to send one crusader. It's a statistic I cited earlier. And that meant the mortgaging and pledging of all sorts of estates. Very often these were brought to money loaners, bankers, or you transferred the assets to your family. You think of Robert Curthose pawned the whole Duchy of Normandy to his brother William I, who was never going to give it back to him, as it turned out. And there was a desperate shortage of cash, and yet somehow the money was found because the European economy was developing, and that first crusade went off. Well, by 1190, 1188, 1189, with the funding of the Third Crusade, King Richard, Philip II Augustus of France, they could simply tax their clergy and their population. They might have to summon a parliament, they might have to work out a deal, but the money was there. And there were royal institutions to tax into that revenue, payment could be made, the clergy paid, and with these vast funds, you could launch a major crusade, and in the case of Richard, just like Louis the Ninth, you also could pay ransoms. Or Richard has the misfortune of being captured by Duke Leopold of Austria and held for ransom, and he's eventually sold off to the Holy Roman Emperor. You kind of, you know, prisoners are assets that you can trade in medieval ransoming techniques, and it is paid. And it's a testimony not only to the fiscal institutions of England and France that these expenses were met, but by the vast development in the European economy, which was a direct consequence of the crusading era.